Happy Monday. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great sponsors like the Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and even your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. They are the folks that you love and that you know that keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation. Their trip planning tools show you the least crowded park to visit every day. They have customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on your Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. They're going to make your next vacation that much better for the price of a counter service meal in one of the Disney theme parks. Check them out today. Great tools to plan your next vacation. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Ladies and gentlemen, bats and ghouls, Mickey, Minnie, and all their friends have come together at this spookiest time of year to say boo to you as they proudly present the not-so-scary Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade.
Welcome to episode 1087 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, your ghost host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Halloween to you. Nothing scarier than downloading an unknown Be Our Guest podcast, but you know it's a Monday, so it's a trip report. So hey, be careful. Just going to say this off the top. We'll say it as we close. As you head home from work today, please be careful. The little ghosts and goblins that are out there trick-or-treating, they're not paying attention. They're running across the street because they have Kit Kats. So just be careful, slow down, and use some caution. Let's have a good time tonight, Halloween night. Always exciting for the little kids and the big kids like myself. So as I said, we got to get the week started. Last day of October here. November's right around the corner. Wine and Dine weekend this weekend. Man, cannot wait. But we got to get a trip report in, and this is going to be kind of a double dose. We're going to split it up here. So we're heading up to Vermont with Katie. Katie, thanks for joining us.
It's been great. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. So how are things in Vermont this Halloween day?
You know, they're pretty good, pretty chilly. My work, we all kind of dressed up for today, and they were taking a bunch of pictures. So it was really fun. It was pretty great.
That's it. You're never too old for Halloween. I mean, you can be a grumpy old person that, you know, shuns this stuff. But most likely, if you're listening to a show like this, you're probably dressing up today. Let's face it. So got to be a kid.
Sure. And my brother's 13, so we're still doing the Halloween thing for a couple more years.
That's right. All right. All right. So, we of course, people know that if you've asked to come on the show, we have to schedule these out pretty far in advance because I never tell anybody no. And I can only record one night a week for the Monday show, so we get them kind of spread out. But you've had two trips since we talked. And one of the things I want to address from the initial conversation that we had was that you stayed over at Saratoga Springs and you stayed in one of the treehouse villas, which are probably the most unique accommodation at Walt Disney World, really anywhere around. So let's spend a little time about what's it like to stay in a treehouse.
It was pretty wild. That trip, there was a bunch of us going. It was me and my mom and my stepdad and his mom and my two step-siblings and my brother. So it felt kind of not cramped. It felt like there was just enough room for us. So it kind of felt like there was the perfect amount of room for everybody in the treehouse. My stepsister and I were staying in like the pull-out couch out in the, I guess, living room, kitchen, dining room, whole common area. And it was a little much to kind of have the early birds of the family just kind of walking around while we were sleeping. So that was a little, not annoying, but it was just kind of something that we knew was going to happen. And it was really cool to be so close to Disney Springs. I almost called it Downtown Disney. It's been a tough transition for me. But it was really cool to be able to like hop on a boat and head over there. We spent pretty much every night going to dinner out there. And the only thing, I guess, the bus situation was kind of strange, since there is like the internal bus for Saratoga and then the bus for the tree houses. There was only like the one for the tree houses. And it seemed like either we would get off from the parks and the bus was like right there, and we could just get on and go and it was fine. Or we waited upwards of like 45 minutes for a treehouse bus one night. And we're, especially my mom and my stepdad, are very like open to closed park people. And when you get back from, you know, an extra magic hour night or something, and it's already like 11 o'clock or midnight, the last thing you want to do is wait like 45 minutes for the bus just to get back to your room. And for sometimes it was just worth it to walk. It was about 20 minutes to walk or so. So it was still kind of not entirely ideal, but better than the waiting. But we loved the tree houses. It was so cool. It was just an odd little oasis kind of away from Saratoga, because there's such a stark contrast between like even just the architecture, I feel like, of Saratoga as a whole and then from the tree houses. They just seem very different. But we really love the tree houses. Thought it was really fun. Definitely not something that we'll probably get to do for quite some time. It just kind of fell into our laps that we were going to be able to stay in the tree houses.
Yeah, I think you put it
really, you love them.
You put it really well, because they are a unique situation where, you know, I'm used to staying at, you know, most of the Walt Disney World resorts, like a Riverside or a Coronado Springs or a Pop Century, you know, something like that, Animal Kingdom Lodge, where, you know, you have the...
Those are our favorites, too.
Oh, they're great resorts, but the thing is, when you're in a treehouse, it is, you know, it's almost like having a house. But the thing is, you know, I really recommend if at all possible, have your own car, because like you said, transportation can be an issue. It's a, you know, when you're in the treehouse and you see this internal bus snaking through the treehouse loop, like, you know, I always say that bus driver must have, you know, that guy or gal must have drawn the short straw that day, because that's a tough route to drive. That's a skinny little road with those gigantic buses. Did you notice that too?
Oh. Yeah, no, for sure. It was definitely strange. Our treehouse, I forget which number we were in, but it was like the bus stop was right outside. We just kind of walked down the stairs, so we could hear it pulling up and then kind of rally everybody and run outside, because we knew that it was going to be probably another 20, 30 minutes or so before another bus would come around. And it was definitely kind of scary. You're definitely like swiping out some of the trees while we were on our way out.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
It is. I mean,
you feel like you just kind of emerge from the trees and then you're on the normal road.
That's so true, because you are. I mean, it's a very rustic stay. And you know what I would recommend for people, if you want to stay at the treehouse, you know, and you're looking for that next, you know, you've stayed at a lot of the resorts down at Walt Disney World. What I would say here's what my, after staying there with Pam and her family years ago when we did the treehouse meet, is that I would do a split stay if you're going to stay at the treehouses. You know, stay at a typical, more, you know, your style Walt Disney World resort, whether it's like Wilderness Lodge or Animal Kingdom Lodge or, you know, Pop Century, whatever. Stay there for like 5 days and then maybe take a weekend or stay two or three nights at a treehouse. But when you're in the treehouse, they really lend themselves for family time, you know, chilling on the deck and playing cards or, you know, just hanging out in the common areas. You know, it's not really a great place to stay if you're, you know, going to go to the park, come back, take a nap, go back to the different park that night, you know, as a lot of people do. I think that it's really, you know, you go there to enjoy the accommodation more than any other resort at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I think that's something we definitely didn't take advantage of as much as we were going to, or like as much as we would have. I think because we had the Saratoga trip planned, because we have DVC, so we usually stay at Saratoga. But at the very last minute, it turned out we'd be able to stay at the tree houses. So we kind of had everything else already planned before we knew we were going to be staying there. And I think had we known kind of beforehand or a little bit ahead of time, we maybe would have carved out some time to really just enjoy the space. We took a ton of pictures, but didn't really do much else. So, I think that's certainly a great idea to do the split stay. We've only ever done a split stay once, and it was really just one night. But I think it's something to look into for sure.
Yeah, I agree. The thing is, I just picture... it's like glamping, like glamorous camping.
Yeah.
Because it's a house nicer than my house. We had a 3-bedroom. I'm like, man,
really
way nicer than my house. I'm like, it's got a barbecue grill. You could do it up. You got the big deck. We had like 85 people that came by that day. We weren't supposed to have that many people, but you could have, friends over and have a good time. It was a hoot. So I just wanted to jump in on the treehouse right away because we don't talk about that very much. But Katie, give us some of your background. You say you're DVC, so obviously you're pretty much a Disney veteran, right?
Yeah, my family and I have been going about once, sometimes twice a year since about 2000. We got DVC, I think around 2002 or 3, I'd have to ask my mom, but after it became pretty apparent that I was also going to love going down as much as my mom did. So we were going to be making it a bigger priority to have that time to go down. It's mostly been my mom and I who have been going down, and then with my stepdad and his family, they love it as much as we do. So it's been a really good thing to be able to go down pretty often with them as well. We've stayed, at so many different resorts, with Saratoga being kind of the main one for the past few years since it's pretty easy to get Saratoga reservations, we found, since it's so massive.
Yep.
So we can make some kind of quick trips here and there if we want to do some long weekends. We're a big fan of the long weekend, so we like to go down fairly often for things like that. We love the fall there too. Around this time is like the perfect time. It's our ideal time to go.
Yeah.
Which is why the next trip when we went in August was just such a kind of a mess in a lot of ways because we just weren't used to the summer.
So this trip that we're talking about, you were down there around around Marathon weekend, right? It was in January?
The Saratoga week was, I think, the week before Marathon weekend, I want to say. I think we left on the Friday of the weekend.
So,
kind of just missed it.
Did you find, we're going to talk about August here in a second. I know one of the words we'll be talking about is hot because it's always hot down there in the summer. But how did you find the weather? How did you find the weather? Because you're from Vermont, of course, it's all about perspective. It gets 65 degrees.
Right.
Floridians, build fires. So what did you think about it being from the Northeast, in January as far as weather?
Thought it was pretty chilly from living up here for my whole life. We bundled up fairly well in January for the weather. I've been in January a few times when it's not so much been so cold, but really windy. And when it gets really windy, you get a little chilled. Mm-hmm. And the temperature would drop below 50 or so at night. So it's definitely not what a lot of people would expect, I think, from going down there in January. But we kind of prefer it that way. We're not very much summer people in my family in any part of the country. So we prefer kind of the times like January to go down when it takes a little bit of the edge off of the heat and it's still really nice and we don't have to worry as much about the storms, like the 3 o'clock thunderstorms or the hurricanes or anything like that. So we really enjoy going down in January when it's kind of a little bit chilly, even if chilly is definitely a matter of perspective.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah, I mean, you got it. It's chilly, getting down in the 50s, that beats St. Louis in January. So it is all about perspective. I'll agree with you, though. I mean, as cold as it is here in St. Louis in the wintertime, if you get a chill on down there, it's hard to shake that, because like you said, a lot of times it's windy and it's that real dry cold. It's just
right.
Cuts
through. It made it a little tough to come back up here where we got off the plane to negative 10.
Ouch.
That was unpleasant, to say the least.
Welcome home. Here's
I'll
a punch in the face.
45 degrees.
Yeah, no kidding. Exactly. Nothing like coming home to reality, and it just hurts to exist outside. Not even to do anything, just to live. You know, just to be alive. So, all right. Well, let's talk about the. Let's warm up. This is, I don't want to talk about the cold yet because I know we're in store for that for about the next 5 months, but. Tell us about your August trip. So where'd you stay? And let's kind of dive into how you guys tour and who was with you on that trip. Same crew?
So it was basically the same crew, but it was a little smaller. So it was just me and my mom and my stepdad and then my brother, who is 13. And this trip was planned not at all, pretty much. The trip just kind of fell into our laps because my uncle was getting married. So technically we were here for his wedding, but knowing us, we were going to try to make a trip out of it. So he's getting married in Clearwater. So a little far out from Orlando. It's about a 2-hour drive. But we decided to go up about 3 days beforehand, and stay an extra 2 days after the wedding, to kind of make a real, real good trip out of it. So we stayed at Old Key West. Which I had never stayed at Old Key West before. My mom had stayed there a couple of times with some friends of hers 2 years ago, and she really enjoyed it. I think I liked it the least out of all the DVC resorts I've stayed at, and maybe all the resorts I've stayed at in general. I really wasn't a huge fan of Old Key West. I'm not sure what the general consensus of you guys is about all of the kind of DVC resorts, but I think Old Key West is probably my least favorite one. It was just so difficult to get around for us, especially where our rooms were as opposed to some of the other resorts. We did have a car, obviously, because we were going to be driving out a couple days in, so it didn't end up being that big of a deal. But it was definitely something that when, like, my brother and I like to kind of strike out just the two of us sometimes. So when it was just up to us to get back and we didn't have the car, or we didn't have kind of a better way to get back to the room, it made it a little bit difficult. But we had no plans made for this trip. We planned this probably 3 or 4 weeks before we left. We had no dining reservations. We didn't have Magic Bands. We didn't have any fast passes. We had nothing. We just basically showed up and was like, all right, now what do we do? But that kind of made it fun. We tend to plan the heck out of these trips when we go, especially when we go during busier times, knowing that summer tends to be a pretty busy time. And it was kind of nice to take the pressure off of that and just kind of see what happened. And it ended up being a really good trip. It was a lot less busy, I think, than we thought it was going to be, which was nice. We went the first week of August, I believe the 1st through the 6th or so, around then, and it really wasn't so bad. We were definitely pleasantly surprised kind of how chill some of the parks seemed.
You know what? It's because teachers like me were already back in school on August 3rd, so you can thank my school district for your low crowds. It's ridiculous. We'll probably be... I don't know when we'll go back next year. I don't even want to think about it. It was great. You know, but it's funny because, you know, I look back at our vacation pictures as a family, and, you know, we started going down, you know, when I started dating Pam and Paige, you know, Paige was with us, and we started going down in, like, 2003, and back then we would take our vacation at the end of summer, and it was, like, the last week of August. And I think that's kind of right when the crowd started dying down. But now, really, for the most part, most schools in the Southeast and in the Midwest go back, you know, the beginning of August. So you have, you know, a lot of the month of August, you can have lower crowds than the rest of the summer. So glad that worked out for you.
Yeah, it really did. We ended up getting a lot of really good fast passes for just kind of showing up. Like, we weren't able to get any for, like, the new Frozen or anything like that, because those are still just... like, there should be a black market for Frozen fast passes or something at this point. But we were able to get, like, Soarin' Around the World, and I got one for Toy Story Mania, which I was shocked by. I mean, maybe it's not quite as crazy to be able to get a fast pass for that anymore, but I've only done it once, so I was so excited to be able to do that again, because we never get a chance to. You know, we were able to get fast passes for pretty much all of the big ticket stuff that we would have planned to get them for anyway. Like, my brother is a huge Thrills guy, so he loves the Tower of Terror and the Rock and Roller Coaster and all those, and I'm not so much that way, so I opted not to get those fast passes, but it was pretty easy to to be able for everyone to kind of get their stuff done. So we were really glad that it ended up working out that way. You know, we were able to get like Test Track and Spaceship Earth and all those. We still love Spaceship Earth, even though it's a little dated at this point. We still love it. We'll do it every time. So, and so we were really surprised. Even by the dining, it was pretty easy to just kind of walk up to places like Rose and Crown. We ate lunch at Rose and Crown, and that was really great. And we were able to have some really good dinner options, even though we had no plans and no nothing, just kind of walked up everywhere. We went to Splitsville, which was really great. We were really surprised by Splitsville. It was super good. We really enjoyed it. We really enjoyed that whole area and exploring the whole new Disney Springs area and whatnot. We really, really enjoyed that aspect as well.
Let me ask you this, because you say, you know, you kind of venture out sometimes with just yourself and your brother, you know, kind of breaking off from your mom and your stepdad. You know, my family's a blended family as well. And so, you know, I have Paige as my stepdaughter, and she goes out with Mallory sometimes, who's 8, you know, so she's a little bit younger. But I, you know, I wonder, you know, I hope that my hope is that, you know, they'll look back on those days and say, you know, remember those times we just went out, and because Disney World's a safe place and Paige knows where she's going. It's like, you sound like, you know, everything that's going on. So there's no, you know, worry for the parents, but I mean, I would imagine those are going to be, at least even now for you, because you're the older sibling, but that's got to be kind of special times and really a good bonding experience to be in such a cool place and to have a little bit of freedom like that together.
No, it's, we really love it. It's definitely for his whole life. It's been a major thing that we've bonded over. I am quite a bit older than my brothers. I'm 23 and he's 13. So I think we have a already kind of a unique relationship that way. But whenever we have a chance to go together, we try to really, consciously make some time to just go with the two of us, to whatever we want to do. Cause there is stuff that we really enjoy that my mom might not like as much. So she just kind of sends us on our way to do what we're going to do. But I really hope that, you know, he'll look back on the days where he doesn't think I'm so cool anymore and really enjoys the time that we had, because they really are my favorite times when, you know, we've gone to dinner, just the two of us kind of, and had really fun experiences there. A past trip we both went to at Fort Wilderness, the restaurant at Fort Wilderness, we yelled for the ketchup together. It was a wonderful, wonderful time at Whispering Canyons, I think.
Yeah, that's it, yep.
And that was one of my favorite trips when we went for, our birthdays fall really close together as well. So we went for like a birthday dinner, just the two of us, and it was really, really super special. So I really hope that we keep having trips like this and are even able to maybe just take a whole trip. We've kind of tossed around ideas to take a whole trip, just the two of us. And I think that would be a really, really cool, experience to have and to hold on to for a while. It's all about the memories and making memories and all that. So
yeah, I mean, that sounds really awesome, because I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, the parents think about, you know, hey, it'd be so great to have, you know, just a night where we can go out together and have dinner without the kids. But you know, when you flip it over, you know, and I think so many of our listeners are in the same boat that, you know, the kids are making memories too, you know, so that's, you know, it's kind of a cool thing to do in a very safe place that's very comfortable a lot, you know, for a lot of our families. So I'm glad you put some perspective on that.
You know, it's like the back of our hands. Like, it's,
yeah. And, you know, you have a transportation system at your disposal. You can get wherever you need to get, you know, and it's, like, you know, kids that have grown up at Disney like you have, you know, just like you said, it's comfortable. It's safe. And you have really, you just have, you have so much you can do, and most of it you've already paid for. So that's kind of the best of both worlds.
Right, right.
Look at that. If you have the annual pass, or you have the tickets, you're good.
Mom and like begging for money to do something. It's just kind of,
and if you have the, if you have the magic band with the charging privileges, heads up. Be careful.
Oh, I know. We've gotten into some bullets with that for sure.
So let me ask you about this. I want, you know, because this is a unique perspective. Like, you've grown up with DVC, so for about the last 10 years or so, you mentioned. Mm-hmm. What's it like? Like being in that situation in your family? Because I would think that it would be almost like, like perpetually planning a vacation, you know, like you always have one on the horizon, even though one ends, you don't probably go through that, you know, that lull or that depression like some people get when they get back. I mean, is it kind of just like an ongoing theme in your family? Like, what's next?
It really does feel that way. I think, too, because it's always changing and there's always new things to do and there's always stuff that we didn't get to. It takes some of the pressure, I think, off of our current trip to know that, well, you know, next year or in 6 months or 9 months, sometimes we can get to it then. We can do it then. So I think it really helps taking the pressure off of a current trip, feeling like you don't have to pack everything in to that one trip, knowing that we're super, really, like, blessed and really privileged to be able to kind of go again, to be able to go again fairly soon, and to always be able to have that next trip. Yeah, like you said, on the horizon, we're always coming up with new things that we want to do and new places that we want to stay. You know, we all have our favorite resorts, but we still have a lot of new things that we want to try. It's hard too, I think, always having that next trip, because it's still that whole, like, waiting period. Like, I kind of always want to be there. So it's really fun, though, to be able to be always planning, because I'm kind of a planning nerd in my family. I really enjoy all that planning aspect of it. And that just comes from my mom, as she's the same way. So I think as I've gotten older, too, I've kind of taken the reins of a lot of the planning aspects and finding all the new restaurants that we want to try and, like, new places that we want to go to and new things, like, outside of the parks that we want to do. Trying to figure out Disney Springs too has been really, really fun. Being so disoriented walking in there.
It is. I can't find my way around that place to save my life right now. You know,
I'm so confused.
I'm like, where's Sprinkles again? Because I know I'm close. And, like, you know, with Deluxe Burger, I'm like, I can smell the burgers. Like, I got to be close. I can smell the place. I can't find it.
Right. No, it is definitely, like, kind of always having another trip out in the distance. But I like it. I love it that way. I think it makes for some really great trips to know that we can always go back.
Oh, absolutely. That's everybody's dream. I mean, mm-hmm. It makes it a lot easier to come home when you're never going back. I mean, I can totally tell you that.
Yeah, it really does.
So let me ask you a few of your favorites. You know, we don't do that very often here, but I kind of think it's fun for our listeners to hear. So if you could stay anywhere you want, your next trip, you know, it doesn't have to be a DVC resort. You can just stay anywhere you want. You've had all these experiences. Where would you stay?
Oh, my gosh. I think my favorite still is Boardwalk.
Nice.
I really, really love staying at Boardwalk, at the villas there, or anywhere. We stayed at Boardwalk before we were DVC as well, and it became very, very quickly one of our absolute favorites, especially with the additions of, like, the Abracadabar and Ample Hills, which we went to. Ample Hills, we weren't able to go to the Abracadabar because we weren't going to be there, but we did get ice cream and it was phenomenal.
This is so good. I know. Tell me that place. They put something in it, man. It's like wicked. It's so good. There's something
so
special.
Good. There was no one in there too when we went.
I know.
I walked up and I thought they were closed. It was really strange. There was no one in there, but it was so, so fun. But yeah, we really love Boardwalk. I think I would love to do, like, a really intense, like, a week just being at Boardwalk and being able to explore the whole area, because we don't get over there enough. Boardwalk is always so jam-packed.
Oh, we're
never able to make reservations there. It's so difficult.
You're so killing me, though, because, you know, like, I'm taking my family. We're staying at Boardwalk over a marathon for the last four nights of our, you know, over the actual marathon weekend. You know, we got a good group rate with the travel agency, so now I'm even more excited. I stayed there one time for the media event last spring, but, you know, it was just me. I couldn't get over the room, though. I was like, this TV's practically bigger than my living room wall, you know, and you know, the two gigantic beds and a couch. And, I mean, I'm thinking, it's just me. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'll take the creepy clown slide.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know. Hey, man, it's Halloween day. I don't know. Those creepy clowns, man,
right,
they're
exactly.
They're coming after us. That gives that slide a whole new meaning. I mean, it takes it to another level. Those things are dangerous. I don't know. So anyway, let me ask you a couple of the favorites. So favorite restaurant. You can go to any meal down at Walt Disney World. Where are you going?
Oh, my gosh. See, I would say as of the Aug trip, it was the first trip I went down and being a vegetarian. And before that, I would probably say Le Cellier. And knowing that I can probably never go there again has been kind of heartbreaking for me. But I absolutely love Le Cellier. I just really love the atmosphere, and the chocolate mousse it kills me every time. I think it's so cute, and I really love it there. I really love the Canada Pavilion in general. I think it's really, really beautiful and really well done. I think Le Cellier is probably my favorite, most indulgent meal for sure. It could be
Well, now, how exotic can that be? That's like right in your backyard, isn't it? Can you look out there and see Canada?
I can probably, you know, I'm closer to a cow than a person at most points in the state, that's for sure.
That's why it's kind of breaking up just a little on the call today, but it's because you're very remote in Vermont, so we're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
We've had some guests over the last few weeks that have definitely been very remote. We love that, you know, love talking to everybody, so it's always fun. You never know where the next guest is going to come from. You know, we talked to somebody from Mexico a couple weeks ago, and now Vermont. Awesome. So let me ask you one other thing. So favorite attraction. You can go into any of the parks. You can do one attraction only. What's your overall favorite?
My overall favorite, I think, is going to be Expedition Everest.
Nice call.
And I love it so much. And in saying that I'm not as so much a thrill person, I've kind of fallen out of most of the other roller coasters over the years, but Everest continues to be just my absolute favorite. If I only go to Animal Kingdom for a couple of hours, I know I'll make it work. I have to do it. I love it so much. I love the whole area. That's my favorite area of any of the parks, I think, too. And I just think it was so, so well done. And I think the ride is just so beautiful. It's so like striking when you look at it. And I've always, always absolutely loved Everest. I think it's been a favorite from first ride, I think.
Yeah, it's really got everything. I mean, it is kind of a thrill ride. I mean, definitely it's a high-speed roller coaster. It's got really great theming. You know, it's just, and it's not a franchise kind of thing. You know, it's like it's got its own story.
Right.
I think that really resonates with a lot of Disney fans, that it doesn't have to be, you know, a Marvel thing or a Frozen thing, you know,
right.
Some movie has to go with it. I think that's it's kind of a throwback now. It's sad to say, because when they built it, it really wasn't a throwback, but when you think about it, it is now. So yeah, not good. So let me, before we get out of here, because we are running a little short here, I want to ask you about, you know, you said going down, being a vegetarian, what challenges find, and what advice can you offer somebody that's looking to go down there? Because obviously I don't know what that's like myself. I eat a lot of meat.
Something I definitely didn't do that I wish I'd done a little bit more was do a little more research. Even all the menus are online. It's so easy to find all of the info on the food. I think that would have benefited me a lot. That being said, it really wasn't very difficult to find a lot of really good options. Like Rose and Crown, I was surprised, had a lot of really good options, as well as Splitsville, and we ate at ESPN Club as well, and they had a lot of really good options, and they were really willing to kind of work with me on some things to be able to like substitute different things. And it really wasn't as difficult as I think was fearing it was going to be. And I found some new favorites too, actually. A big shocker I found was that, Cosmic Rays, which I ate at just on my own one day because I was running off to somewhere else, and they had like a falafel burger that was so good. It was really strangely good. So that's really cool, that, and it was so filling, and I lost like a third of it. It was massive, and it was so good. So I found some new really good staples and some new favorites after I had made peace with, you know, knowing I was never going to have a turkey leg again or not going to be able to go to L'Atelier again. It became pretty easy, actually, to find a lot of options and a lot of really wonderful cast members that are really willing to kind of work with you on some things. It really wasn't as difficult as I was fearing. It was pretty easy, and it was fun. Everything was still amazing. Everything was still delicious. So it was really good. It was great.
You still get to eat like cupcakes and ice cream, right? Tell me. You want to say Apple Hills. So yeah,
yeah.
I'm saying, okay, that's good
exactly stuff.
I'm saying, I'm going to worry about you if you don't get that.
Apple Hills and having a great time with the ice cream or having the chocolate meat.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, I know, you know, you said you're DVC, so, you know, obviously what's on the horizon? What do you have planned or hoping to plan for your next adventure?
Well, I think the next one, it's looking like the family may not be able to go down for a little while, but I am planning a trip with my girlfriend next year. We're looking to go for Food and Wine. We're hoping to go in November. We're not sure where we're going to stay yet. It's probably going to be Saratoga, since it's the one that we are the most comfortable with and the most familiar with. So I think we're going to try to do a food and wine, maybe that marathon weekend, try to Braves marathon weekend. We're not sure. That's looking like food and wine is really our favorite time to go. And it's really kind of the easiest time for us to go. And you know, we're not in school anymore. So it's a lot easier to plan time. So we're thinking next November, Saratoga food and wine, really make it a fun eat and drink around the world. Sounds good.
And, you know, Saratoga is definitely, you know, every time they put in a new restaurant, you know, they're putting in the new wine bar here very shortly over in Saratoga. I mean, it's just, it makes, you know, with Disney Springs expanding and all these great offerings, I mean, it really does make Saratoga a great spot to land.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Everybody's loving that. All right. Well, Katie, I appreciate your time and thanks for checking in here from
Thank
Vermont.
You.
We appreciate it. So happy Halloween to you. What are you going to dress up as today? What's your costume?
We did a kind of cartoon or like comic book cartoon theme at work. So I don't know if you've seen that kind of freaky makeup with all of the like cartoon dots on it.
No, I'll have to look that up.
Some listeners may know what I'm talking about, but we did a very like cartoony, like Betty and Veronica theme for work. And it was super fun. Everything looked great.
Well, I'm going to be the astronaut Darth Vader, so I'll wear my space camp flight suit with a Darth Vader head, and so and Mickey mitts, you know. So I'm kind of a Mickey Mouse too. So who knows? It's whatever you have, you know. You got to take what you got. So Katie, I appreciate it, and thanks for coming on the show again. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. And don't forget, today's show brought to you by the Wisdom of Walt. So drop by Amazon today. You can pick up a copy in all kinds of different ways. They have the hard copy, the soft cover. You can get an ebook right there to read on your tablet. You can even get an audio version, which if you're a podcast listener, that's a great option because you can listen to the book, you know, as you're cleaning the house, maybe as you're getting your running in here as we approach, you know, the Wine and Dine marathon weekend, half marathon weekend. And the big dog in January. So you're going to have a lot of time with just you and your phone. It'd be a great time to take in the Wisdom of Walt on an audiobook. And it's really a book of Dr. Jeff Barnes, leaving kind of pointing out lessons that Walt left us in Disneyland, you know, as far as achieving our dreams and going after those things that we love. And, you know, even just the fun stuff. Why did Walt do it this way? Well, because it entertains us. And it's really it's a history book about Disneyland, but it's much, much more. You get fired up when you read this book. I've read it twice now, and I just love it. Like, it's next to the nightstand, and it's really incredible. If you really want to do something great, because the holiday season's quickly approaching, drop by thewisdomofwalt.com, and you can even pick up a personally signed copy, which I have and I treasure. So drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today and check out this awesome book. It's great for any Disney fan. Also, we're brought to you by touringplans.com. Stay out of line. See the most amount of attractions possible on the next Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal Vacation. They got the tools to make your next vacation awesome. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. All right, give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike, and drop by the Facebook group. We'll have something scary going on today. It's Halloween. Facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. And do check out Magical Mouse Radio. You need some Walt Disney World in-park audio and music in your life, and we've got it playing for you right this second, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Remember, be careful for those little ghosts and goblins tonight. Slow down on the way home. You'll get there. And all the kids, big kids, little kids, we're all out there. Have a good time and get lots and lots of candy, and boo to you. So for Katie, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Get back to work, and boo to you.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.